Thank you, church, for the invitation. Thank you, everybody, for being here. And I appreciate all the church has done for us. 1 Corinthians 1, if you will. I do want to say a couple things before I get into the message today. Our Bible conference in Texarkana is going to be September the 16th and 17th. We always have it on the third Saturday of September. We have 6 men invited. 3 I have confirmation of. Brother Kelly Henson's 1, Brother Jimmy Nelson's 2nd, and Brother Ronnie Miller's 3rd. The other 3 I haven't heard from yet, but hopefully we will soon, since they're all 3 here. But anyway. Now, if you can't make it, that's good. We're good with it. We just invite people, and we just take what the Lord gives us. And it is a blessing for men to spend their time. I'm telling you, I'm a pastor, and I've been pastor for 12 years, and it's a job. The Lord said when you desire to be a pastor, you desire good work. And it's a work. And to travel around the country to preach at other churches is a work too. And it adds on to what you have to do. But we're grateful for the men that come and all the folks that come to our church in September. And please do come if you want to, September 16th and 17th. We only have a Friday night and a Saturday service. We don't have a Sunday. One reason is, we don't have a fellowship hall, so we have to take people, everybody out to eat. So we take them out for 2 meals, Friday night and Saturday at noon, we take everybody out to eat. So it's a little bit expensive, so we don't have a Sunday service. But if anybody wants to hang around for Sunday, we'll certainly love to speak. The message I have for you today, and brother, when am I supposed to quit here? About 5 till? Okay. Whenever I quit. Okay. The message I have for you today is one that when my father-in-law, whom I grew up under his ministry, when he got dementia and started to lose his mind, he told me to take his computer that he loved very much and to make sure that it got given to the church. And I did. I took his computer, went through it, took all the personal stuff out of it. It's not much, but it's something he wanted to leave to the Lord's church. And some of the things I took out of it were some of his messages. When my father-in-law preached, he had a great mind. And when he preached, he would take an index card and put his entire message on an index card. I don't do that. I got 3 sheets of paper here that I preach off of because I don't have that kind of a mind. We were talking last night about Brother Homer Lawrence, and Brother O'Neill was telling me that he had a great mind and memorizing scriptures. That's the way my father-in-law was. He memorized everything. He told me, he said, Randy, when you start preaching, you'll learn it's best to memorize things. And that way you don't need so many notes. I said, but you don't understand, brother. I don't do that. And he told me also a thing he learned at seminary Fort Worth, and that was to stand up, speak up, and shut up. And I don't do that either. But anyway, but he left this message that I'm going to preach. Not this message, but he left it at the foundation of it. So it makes me very honored to be able to speak this message today. And I hope that you enjoy it. Because when Brother O'Neill was up here a while ago, one of the last things he left us with, he said that God has a message. That message is what I want to preach about this morning. If you'll turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, the Lord said here through the Apostle Paul, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest or that not the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribes? Where is the disputers of this world? Hath not God made the foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. For the Jews required a sign, the Greeks required wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, listen, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. One thing we understand, and I can't do this whole message, I have to skip some of it. But one thing we have to understand is that we serve a glorious God. We serve a God that is not stupid. He is not ignorant. It is not that he doesn't understand what he wants and what he's going to accomplish. And it's not that he can't accomplish what he wants to. We actually serve a God that knows everything, has all understanding. He knows exactly what he wants, and he knows how to accomplish it. He doesn't need us to accomplish anything. He can do it by himself. He doesn't need the gospel to save sinners, because when Jesus Christ went to the cross and died, his blood was shed at that time to cleanse our sins. One thing's guaranteed in this world is none of the elect of God will ever die lost. They will not die with their sins unpardoned. Every single one of the elect of God will absolutely be saved. And I get sick and I get tired of heretics in this world telling us that Jesus can't do it by himself. God don't need our wisdom. He don't need our strength. We ought to bow down with our faces on the ground and praise our holy God that he even uses us. It is an honor and a glory to be one of God's chosen vessels, to first be saved and second to do anything for God. I get upset with people, church people, that have talents and they refuse to use them for the Lord. How many people has a great singing voice and refuse to sing? How would you like to come to church on Sunday and the pastor just sat down and say, "I don't want to preach today"? So we want to look this morning at our message, the message of God. Because before the foundation of the world, God elected to save a remnant of people throughout time. Jesus Christ was the sacrifice. He was a chosen vessel of God. And therefore he became a sacrifice. The Lord rewarded him. He gave us to him, making him a sacrifice to come to this world to die for our sins. There's a message. And the message is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul quite blatantly told us what the gospel is. It's how that Christ died, was buried, and rose again according to the scriptures on the third day. Paul told us exactly what the gospel was, and that is the message that we take into the world. God promised that if we would go out and preach the word and send it out into the world, it would not return void. I don't never, ever think that anything I preach is void. I believe that every message I preach, whether it's good or whether it's bad, is not my opinion. But I guarantee you one thing, God has a purpose for it. He has a purpose for the gospel, and the purpose of the gospel is to save sinners. To bring them to the knowledge of what the message is, and what the message is Jesus Christ dying on that cross for our sins. So God has a purpose for the message. So we're going to look at three different topics this morning, or three different subjects. The message is the gospel. So we're going to look at the means, the results of our gospel. The message, the means, and results. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians. And you want to stay there. You want to put a finger or something there. Because I'm going to rock back and forth to other scriptures. But I'm going to use 1 Corinthians 1 as our main subject because it's so fully packed with such wonderful, wonderful things that we need to hear. First of all, the message. Christ crucified is the message. There's a reason that Jesus Christ went to the cross, and that was to give his life. He didn't die. He gave his life. He wasn't killed. He gave his life. They didn't take his life. He gave his life. It says in verse 23 in 1 Corinthians 1, but we preach Christ crucified. That's not what you're hearing from a lot of pulpits today. You're not hearing Christ crucified. You're hearing a lot of things about salvation, but you're not hearing Christ crucified. Because they're not preaching Christ crucified. They're preaching works. They're preaching baptism. They're preaching all sorts of things except for Christ. Always remember this. God said in Romans 1 that they would take the truth, change it into a lie, glorifying the creature more than the creator. And if you preach anything for salvation outside of Christ crucified, you are teaching a lie. And not only that, you're telling God that he is a liar. Because he told Paul to go out and preach Christ crucified, not to baptize. I'm amazed. When I go by church buildings, I drive a truck for a living. Sometimes I wonder if I should be anymore. But anyway, I drive a truck for a living. And I go by a lot of church buildings, or what's called church buildings. I go by their assemblies, and they have these, what I call stupid signs in front of the church buildings. Like, the key to heaven is hanging on nail. Well, if Christ is in the grave, we're in a lot of trouble. If he's hanging on it now, we're in a whole lot of trouble too.
We sure are.
I've seen one in Tyler, Texas. Most of you have probably heard this before. Because it amazed me how stupid a Baptist church, quote unquote, could be. is one Mother's Day, they said that God couldn't be everywhere at one time, so he created mothers. So I call them stupid signs. Why not put on there that Jesus died for your sins? It's the greatest, most powerful message in the entire world. Now, the power of it's not ours. The power of it is not my preaching it. The power of the gospel is not something that I make wonderful and glorious, and oh, this lost sinner just got to hear me preach it, because I'm the only one that can preach it to satisfy them and make them come to Christ. I'm going to take some words. I'm going to mix them in like a salad here. And I'm going to put the gospel of God way on the bottom, because I'm more intelligent than God is. Tell you what, God can take a burning bush and say anything he wants to. He don't need us for nothing. He don't need our smarts. He don't need our wisdom. He don't need our words. He don't need us to get fancy with them. All he needs is the message, and the message is Jesus Christ crucified. Go to Romans 1, if you will. So, Christ said to Paul to go out and preach the gospel, not to baptize. He said to preach, the message to preach is the gospel. He said in verse 17 of our text, I'm just going to read this when we go to Romans 1. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Because baptism does nothing for you. Baptism is not part of the gospel. I once had a man to actually tell me one time that I was pretty ignorant, and that's not uncommon. I'm told that a lot. Because the gospel can't just be what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm sorry, it's more than that. Paul just got tired of writing, so he didn't write that. The rest of it in there. I'm telling you, this is what a Church of Christ member told me one time. The baptism is part of the gospel. Well, then Paul didn't carry the gospel, did he? But the gospel is about Jesus Christ. That's the message that Brother O'Neill was talking about. That's the message of God. Not our message, it's God's message. We're not allowed to change it, turn it, twist it, or do anything with it. I'm telling you what now, God's very smart, and he knows what we need. And he knows how to tell us, and he knows how to save sinners. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul also said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So here's Paul telling us that the gospel is the power of God. It's not our power. It's not my power. It's God's power. And God can take it and can save sinners with it. He can bring it to a man like Saul of Tarsus and bring him to his knees, whom he said, "I am the chief sinner." And he was an awful man. But the gospel saved him. 1 Corinthians 15, if you will. Let's go look at that gospel. The gospel is plain and the gospel is simple. And that's what makes it the message. First of all, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4, he says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Paul received it. He, you know, Mary wasn't just always a Christian. Mary had to be saved too. Even though she was the mother of Jesus, the Son of God, she still had to be saved. She's still a sinner. Paul still had to hear the same message we heard. And he says here, that I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and was buried and rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. One of the big stupidest things back then was that Christ didn't rise from the dead. Paul went on to say later down in the chapter, if Christ didn't rise from the dead and this is all we have, we're most miserable. Secondly, we're going back to 1 Corinthians, our text, scripture. We want to go from the message to the means. Anything the Lord has, He has it already figured out. And I know some of you say, well, God don't figure anything out. I'm making it so we can understand it, okay? I know. Well, God didn't sit down one day and, here's John, here's Bill, and here's Cindy. Who do I want you next? Known unto God is all His works from the foundation of the world. God is eternal. He knows everything. Always has, always will. Because we're elected, God doesn't mean that God sat down and one day scratched His head and chose us. We're always been His. So the means here is the preaching of the cross. The preaching of Jesus on that cross. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18 he says, for the preaching of the cross. Now if you will, turn a chapter over to chapter 2. And verse 2. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Dress it up, make it look as pretty as you want to, put fruit around it, put some flowers around it, you build up the enticing words, and it don't make a flip what you do with it. If God is not convicting your heart, that gospel is on deaf ears. They will not hear it. They will not understand it. The means of the gospel is the power of God. This, beloved, it's a message of God to the lost and to the sinful in this world. It was God's message to us before we were saved. This is the most powerful message we can preach, we can teach, and churches can ever send out. The Lord told the church, the first church, and no, it wasn't Catholic. He told the first, and Brother O'Neill, I am not a Catholic priest. But anyway, I'm going to let Brother O'Neill explain that one. At lunch, ask him why he called Brother Randy a Catholic. He said, you're dressed in black. You must be a Catholic priest. No. That's okay. Led the train hand once called me a leprechaun because I was dressed in olive. But anyway, I love Brother O'Neill. I'm not going to gig him too hard because I do want to come to our Bible conference. The men of our church will crucify me if I make everybody mad. But anyway, no. And some of them are actually here. I thank you for coming. But anyway, Where am I here? You find my place here. Let's go to, I've lost my train of thought. That's what I get for foolishness. Speaking of foolishness, let's go to verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 1. The foolishness of preaching. Why is it called foolishness? He says, for the preaching, in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is foolishness, is to them that perish foolishness. So they don't get it. They don't understand it. It might as well be in Spanish or Greek or some language they don't understand. Because they don't hear. See, the simplest thing in the world is to say that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Savior. And believe on Him and have eternal life. But people would rather believe in Muhammad.
Yeah.
They would rather be a Muslim. And I wonder how great Muhammad Ali feels today. Cassius Clay, that's his name. Skipping me that since he turned Muslim, what he called himself. But anyway, I wonder how he feels today.
You know the truth?
Sure does. A little late, but yeah, he does. And I'm not mocking him or laughing at him. I'm sad for him. I'm sad for everybody that dies without Christ. I keep telling our church, if I had my way, if I would want everybody to be saved, I would never want anybody to go to hell.
Amen.
Not anybody, ever. I don't care how much they hate me. But foolishness to them that cannot hear or see the gospel. It's foolishness because they don't get it. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 3, if you will. He says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18, he says, let no man deceive himself. If any among you seem to be wise in the world, let him become a fool that he might be wise. In other words, we don't hear all this wisdom. The Lord said it's not with enticing words, okay? All we need is the gospel. You know what? It's worked for centuries. It's worked for millenniums. It will always work. Because it's the power of God unto salvation. Verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. I wonder how Osteen feels about that. The wisest man in the whole ministry. He's got his own XM channel now. But anyway, it's foolishness to God, isn't it? For he has written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, and that they are vain. Verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Oh, wow, that kills out a whole bunch of preachers, doesn't it? I'm telling you what, you'll never find a preacher that'll praise God more than a Sovereign Grace Missionary Baptist Church. Ever. Let no man glory, for the all things are yours. When verse 22, whether Paul or Paulus or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you're Christ and Christ is God's. No matter who you are, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a special person. You are a person that God chose for the foundation of the world to be His. You are a person that Jesus died for. And you are a person that God has adopted to be His own son, His own child. And you're special to Him. Last, and I'm going to do this real quick, I got about 5 minutes. Last is the result. Go back to 1 Corinthians 1, if you will. And I'm going to zip through this because I've got to finish right here. And we're going to go from 1 Corinthians 1 to Hebrews 4. Back to 1 Corinthians 1 to 1 Corinthians 3. So that'll be pretty simple. 1 Corinthians 1 to Hebrews 4. Our last one is the results. If the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, then what do you think the results will be? Well, he says in 1 Corinthians 18, the second part, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, if God wants something done, what's going to happen? It's going to get done. If God wants you to be His child, if He wants you to be saved, if He wants you to hear the gospel, then you'll hear it. And you'll be saved. I find people sometimes disgusted because their children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren or family members or something might not know the Lord. And they say, well, Brother Randy, I keep telling them and telling them and telling them and telling them and telling them. You're not going to tell them anything until God convicts their hearts.
Amen.
You're not going to tell them anything until the porter opens the door.
That's right.
And the voice of Jesus is heard. Come in here. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, he says, for the word of God is quick. The word of God is powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder the soul and spirit. The dividing means to be able to pass judgment on something. The Word of God is a schoolmaster to us to bring us to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to bring us to the knowledge that we're sinners and we need Him. It condemns us, but it also redeems us. It saves us through the gospel. God doesn't need us. He doesn't need the gospel. God can save anybody He chooses to save. In fact, every one of the elect of God will be saved. I don't know who they are. I don't know who all's, I can't say who they are, but one thing I can say is all of them will be saved. Now, real quickly, so I can finish here, because I know the ladies are just itching to get out there and warm my food up. Anyway, to save them that believe, he said in 1 Corinthians 1:21. He said, to save them that believe, to this the preaching of the gospel or any of God's truths are never a waste of time. Well, I preach the gospel. It's a simple message. Everybody here is saved. Everybody knows it. I got members of my church that's been saved since I've been there. I've got members of my church that were members of my church before I got there that have been saved since I've been there. It's never a waste of time to preach the gospel, even to a saved house packed. You don't know who's truly saved and who truly isn't. Only God knows that. Sometimes people think they're saved when they're not. And they can even convince you they're saved when they're not. The message is the Lord. Let's go real quickly, 1 Corinthians 3, and I'll end with this. To this, the preaching of the gospel, or any of God's truth, not a waste. It is our duty as churches and as pastors in particular to preach the gospel message. You know, I love Sovereign Grace messages. I love election, predestination. I love for people to preach on TULIP. I love for people to preach on the church. I love to hear all of these things. But the most necessity message of all of them is the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, he says, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe. There's just simply man that God sent to preach a message to you, and you heard it. Paul was no good. We don't ride in on our big horses, stand tall in the pulpit. Well, you're lucky I'm here today. Who are we? Just men that God's used to preach a message. But God gave the increase. It don't matter who waters or who plants. You can water, you can plant. It doesn't matter. You can water and plant, water and plant, water and plant, water and plant. But there'll be no increase until God gives it. So neither is he that planteth or anything, neither is he that watereth, but of God that gives the increase. Folks, the message is the gospel. It's Christ crucified, Christ buried, Christ rose again on the third day. The means is the preaching of it. And the power of God through that preaching of the gospel to bring it to the saving knowledge of the sinner that needs to be saved. And the result, when all things work according to God's plan, is salvation. A saved sinner that will not wind up with Muhammad Ali. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your invite. Thank you for your time.
Amen.
Would you please stand?